Chapter 30, Meanwhile in Purgatory. Azrael yawned as he drove into the hot summer sunset. It felt like July, but the heater was on, and he couldn't turn it off. It seemed like he had been driving for days, yet the setting sun remained in its fixed position, halfway over the horizon. Something about it seemed tacky, cardboard-like, artificial. He paid his subconscious no mind as he willed himself to continue the drive. A familiar voice from the passenger seat asked, "You look tired, son. You mind if I drive a little bit? We have a long way to go," the voice insisted. "Why not stretch your legs in the back and get a little shut-eye?" the familiar voice suggested. "I'll drive for a little bit, and we'll be there before you know it," the voice continued. Azrael was very fatigued, and a nap in the back seat was starting to sound like a good idea. "Nap a little," he thought. "Just a little nap." He confirmed as he became weightless and formless as he passed from the driver's seat to the rear. The passenger performed a similar maneuver and positioned himself in the driver's seat and took the wheel. He looked back at Azrael, who was stretched out in the back seat, slipping deeper into consciousness. Before he faded out further into sleep, he saw the face of the voice in the passenger seat in the rearview mirror. It was the devil's. "Sit tight, son. I'll drive the next 1,000 years. He smiled, rows of savage, sharp teeth. The devil spoke in his true voice now, and it was dark and demonic. "Such a handsome devil you are, my son, Lord Azrael," the Prince of Darkness told his spawn. "Soon I will defile the women of the earth with my demonic seed. We will beget 12 tribes to spread our dynastic bloodline on earth and beyond," the devil told him, looking into the rearview mirror. "After the great conflict and the oppressors have been purged, we will take back the earth and reign for a millennium," the devil promised. "What happens next?" Azrael mumbled from the back seat. He felt like he was drugged with sleeping pills, seeping deeper into consciousness by the minute. "What do you mean?" the devil asked. "After the 1,000 years are up, what happens next?" Azrael asked, struggling to speak up. "I never really thought about that," the devil considered. "I don't know, maybe renew my lease for another millennia. Perhaps go to Mars, see what they're up to out there. I'll get back to you on that," the devil said, making a mental note. "How will you beat him?" Azrael asked, on the verge of blacking out. "Who?" the devil asked. "The Christ, Yodova Christ," Azrael shouted. "The Bible says he utterly destroys you." He spat to the devil's laughter. "It's a bit more complicated than that, Lord Azrael," the devil told him with humor in his tone. "What if I told you God is neutral and doesn't give a fuck?" the devil asked. "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things," he said, quoting Isaiah 45:7. "What if I told you God is my buddy too?" the devil riddled. "What if I told you God ain't what you think God is?" the devil questioned. "I'd say we got a long drive, Pops, so start talking," Azrael commanded his father, the devil. The devil smiled. "For starters, no man, no mortal, no name-bearing, ego-holding being can claim to be or know the totality of God. Many powerful beings have masqueraded through the ages claiming to be the Most High, but they still want the pathetic groveling and burnt sacrifices from mere mortals." The devil laughed. "What the knowledge of the ages can conclusively say of God is the following," the devil finished his preamble. "God is all omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Anything short of these characteristics is unworthy to be called God." The devil told him, "God is all, hence all is perfect, including you and I from the vantage point of a flawless, almighty God," the devil preached. "Therefore, we can only sin against each other, never against God," he said in a deep, enlightened tone. "God is all. Hence, God must be everywhere. God is within you. God is even within me." The devil lectured, we established God is omnipresent in you and me, the birds and the bees, the devil sang. But God must also be every when, meaning every perceivable timeline in addition to every how, suggesting everything that can happen within the confines of infinity is happening simultaneously within the eternal confines of God. The devil paused to watch Azrael's mind explode. In this epiphany, we find that everything is possible when you are a part of the Almighty God. Within the realm of infinite possibilities lies the key to the Christ defeat, the devil said cryptically. Very compelling philosophy, Father, yet you failed to disclose your military strategy. When I spoke with Mother, she seemed to think you had it all figured out. Azrael replied from the back seat. Beliefs, my son. This entire reality is ruled by beliefs. These self-proclaimed gods feed and thrive off your faith, the devil explained. If the people don't believe in them, they lose their power. They fail to exist, he told Azrael. Okay, I still don't see how beliefs will defeat the Christ, he insisted. Yodava is the ascended master of the astrological age of Pisces, hence the fish associated with his ministry in the Bible. Each age is about 2156 years, and we are on the dawn of Aquarius, hence the age of Christ is coming to an end. Matthew 28:20 says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The devil quoted, you speak in riddles, old man, talk plainly to me. Azrael demanded with growing frustration. There are far less believers, the power of the Christ is waning, the devil said. And what of you, Lord Satan, Beelzebub, dear father, of lies, Azrael added. The world believes in you just as much as they believe in White Yodava, or the Tooth Fairy for that much. He laughed. If beliefs are power in the realm of man, you're asked out, Azrael insisted. I don't want them to believe in me, the devil laughed. I don't want them to know I exist. Why do you think I'm hiding behind your handsome face? He asked. To be even more inconspicuous, I chose a black man as my spawn. All these Christians and Bible scholars are on the lookout for the white European Antichrist. Nobody is expecting a nigga to conquer the world and rule it with an iron fist, he explained. You, my nigga Azrael, the devil claimed with a smile. I'm no one's nigga or any variation of the word old man. Azrael scolded the devil for his racial slur. I'm the most powerful man on the planet. Those freeloading bums in lesser heaven with their pants hanging off their asses self-identify as niggas. Please don't associate me with the latter, he continued. I have goals, vision, and a long list of accomplishments. Niggas don't have these things, he assured the devil in the driver's seat. Apologies, my son. You speak truth. It was an insult to compare you to ignorant mortals with poverty mindsets. The devil apologized as he continued to drive. You are my prodigy progeny, evil and godly in all regards, and he praised his son. As long as you know it, Azrael said from the back seat, please tell me more of this new God, he requested. I will make them believe in a brand new God, one that we shall create, the devil told him. And what God will that be? Azrael asked. Technology, the devil replied. The God of technology? Azrael considered as the sleep finally overcame him. Azrael awoke in his penthouse in our heaven. It seemed to be the original penthouse before the nuclear blast. The sky had the same cartoonish sense of artificiality as the car ride with the devil. Am I dead? He asked himself, yawning from a deep slumber. Far from it, Sophia affirmed. You've awakened from a terrible dream, that's all, Sophia said, as if she were a bad actor who poorly rehearsed her lines. She had the same cardboard cutout appearance as the rest of the reality. You're dead, Sophia, he told her, as if he had to remind her. Am I in a dream? He thought, pinching his cheek. There was a sensation of pain, yet Azrael felt as if he were lingering in a lucid state. Although he didn't recall or put the two together, the sensation was similar to the time he spent in a coma. The gravity was off. It felt denser. Time moved slower there, almost as if it were lagging from lack of processing power. Some features of the dream state seemed low-poly, almost dull in detail. Azrael ignored his subconscious once more and went ahead to exit the penthouse. To his surprise, the door was locked. "Our heaven is on lockdown, don't you recall?" Sophia asked. "The zombies are present in the upper levels, Azrael. We must shelter in place. Stay at home," she insisted. "I see," Azrael said, responding to his observation and not her demand. "So, Satan has created a dream world to imprison me while he gallivants in my skin," he grumbled to himself, ignoring the talking cardboard cutout of Sophia. "Time to hack reality," he said aloud.